The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, Renewing Your Strength.
And I know that the Lord has given me this word. I'm not interested in preaching just for the sake of education or information. Whenever I preach, I want to see some change. Because I believe whenever the word of God comes, it always brings change. Change for the better. Change for good. And so if you need change today in your life, and every person here does, I encourage you to take what the Lord gives you today. I'll be preaching one thing. The Lord will be saying many other things to you while I am preaching. So just open up and receive from the Lord. I want to speak to you today about renewing your strength. Renewing your strength. I have a subtitle to this message. It's called, Don't Let Anyone Steal Your Helicopter. That's deep, and we'll get to it. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm reading to you from verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth may faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Holy Spirit, we just love you. We love you, Jesus, and we love you, Father. And we welcome all of the works of heaven in this place for this hour right now. Holy Spirit, we welcome your manifest presence and your anointing. We just give this time to you, Lord, for your purpose in our lives. We speak it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Everyone has a need to renew their strength. The title of this message is Renewing Your Strength. This is a normal thing. It's the way you were set up. You were set up with a kind of program that says, I need renewing, I need renewing, help me, help me. That's the way you were built. In fact, at the end of every day, you have to go to sleep. If you miss a night of sleep, like I do once in a while when I'm flying and I don't sleep well on airplanes. If you miss a night of sleep, you'll be somewhat of a basket case in the morning because you didn't get renewed. If you don't eat and renew your body with food, you'll start to wear down. If you don't get exercise, if you don't get recreation, recreation is needed for recreation, for renewal in your life. You are made this way. This is absolutely normal. In the ministry, you need renewal as well. In your soul, you need renewal. In your emotions, you are in constant need of renewal. In fact, if you don't get renewed on a regular basis, you're going to heaven soon. You will surely die unless God renews you. Over and over, continuously, again and again. This is a normal part of the program for your life. You need renewal. So when you get weary, and when you get fatigued, and when you come into a place where you're struggling or you realize you need to recuperate, you're normal. That's the way God made you. And it's true in the ministry and in your spiritual life as well. All of us need renewal. Now, people need renewal because of many things. Because they're worn out. Because they're exhausted. You could probably check off some of these things on your own list. Because you're fatigued. Because you're drained. Because you feel hopeless. Because you've been knocked down. Because you failed. Because you feel empty. Because you're disappointed. Because you feel pounded. Because you feel attacked. Because you feel judged. Because you feel rejected. Because you feel impoverished. Because you feel traumatized. Some people are even debilitated. And others have almost come to ruin. Some of you may have just lifted your head and say, hey, he's catching my attention. I can relate. This happens because of a lot of different things. Because of criticisms and judgments. Because of abandonment. Because of abuse. Because of poverty. Because of traumas. Because of sickness. Because of catastrophes. Because of the many battles that we, as born-again servants of the Most High God, face in this nation, in this hour. So we need renewal. In fact, this need for renewal in the Church of Jesus Christ is so huge. It is increasing every day, this need for renewal. For the renewing of our strength. The need is here in America right now. It's needed in our churches. It's needed in our families. It's needed in our individual lives. This week, just this week, I had three different pastors call me to ask for counsel, wisdom, direction, and hopefully a word from God. Because there's a need for renewal. And nobody wants to miss out on this day. Nobody wants to get sidelined and miss the purpose of God or step into a place where the avalanche comes down on their heads. Nobody wants to miss God today. At least not people who know Him. And so we get people from all over the country calling us for prayer and advice and counsel and a word from God. Every day, every week, it happens. While we were in Hawaii, we prayed for people in Florida and in Tennessee. This is so critical that the scripture makes it clear to us. It says, even the youths, you know, they're the ones who pump iron and join the Marine Corps. And they're the ones who can run and run and run. We had a church picnic sometime in the summer. And it was a great time. And I love times when we can get out and play baseball. I haven't played baseball for a long time. And I used to be the captain of a baseball team. So I really like it. And we had this game of baseball. And Jesse and I were on the same team. And there was another team there. And we played it with the children too. So everybody got to hit. And didn't matter how many got out. Everybody could line up on the team and get one chance at bat, and then they'd go out, and then the other team would come in and take their turns. Well, Jesse and I were at the long line. We were at the end of the long line with all the children and so. And so I was just before Jesse, and he was the last batter. So I hit the ball and got onto first base, and then I started to think, Jesse's the last person up. Whatever he does, I got to make it home. For my team. I'm going to do it, you know, because I used to be very athletic. Well, at any rate, Jesse hit the ball, and it was good. It was much better than mine. And I took off from first base. I ran past second base. My legs were just rotating. They were flying. I was moving. And when I turned third base, oh, I heard something snap. I hobbled in to home base and got a point for the team and then crawled to the car in severe pain. But the Bible's not talking about me. It's talking about the youths who could do that any minute of any day. And the Bible says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. The natural strength, the best that we have, is not good enough for this hour. But let me tell you something. They that wait on the Lord. I like it. I love waiting on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord. Now, Christmas is coming. And I love Christmas. I love to buy gifts. And I love to give gifts. And every second year we get to have all the children at our place. The other year, they're at the outlaw's place. I mean, the in-law's place. Well, when they come to our house, you know, we will have lots and lots and lots and lots of gifts because we shop all year long for Christmas. This is important. Don't let Christmas shopping be a tyrant to you. Many people get into the December time and they say, now I got to get all these gifts, and they start shopping. And it becomes such a painful, exhausting, traumatic experience. But if all year long you're just going through shops and in here and there, and you only go to those places where it says clearance, you know, I'm Jewish and it's really in my blood. I can't help it. I should tell you why God made Gentiles. Because somebody had to pay retail. Well, so we shop and we say, look, this is up for $5. It's usually $35. We'll get that. And who will we give it to? We'll find somebody, you know. But by the time Christmas comes, we're all finished by the 1st of November. We've done all our Christmas shopping, and our beds, under our beds full, and our closets full, and we're enjoying everything. We just love it. We're having a great time. Waiting on the Lord's like that. Listen to me now. They that wait on the Lord, it's not an end of the line, last minute traumatic experience where you say, oh God, I need you now. Where are you in the moment of desperation? No. It's always having your face before Him. That's what waiting on the Lord is. Every morning I get up, every afternoon, every evening, my face is before the Lord. And you know what there is in waiting? There's expectancy. When you're waiting for somebody, you're expecting them to show up. Isn't that right? And those who wait on the Lord have faith. They're people who are expecting God to show up. Do you know, I do not know everything that God wants to do in my life. I have some good ideas, but I don't know everything. I don't know the details of every day, but I know that every day is a new adventure in my life, because I wait on the Lord. The renewing of my strength comes as I keep my face toward the Lord and I live in a place of expectancy. This is absolutely vital. If you're going to have your strength renewed, you better learn to keep your face on the Lord and you better be expectant that He's going to show up. If you have those two things, He'll renew you. It's normal. That's what He does. Now, what this means is that we're all in need of a healing process. Every week, there needs to be a rejuvenating, renewing, healing process in every area of our lives. There are two types of healing that are needed in the body of Christ. Let me explain. We need pastoral healing, and we need apostolic healing. Now, pastoral healing is found in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. That's what I call pastoral care from heaven, or pastoral healing. It has to do with the restoring of your soul, because some are so beat up and are so sick, physically drained, worn out, that they just need a physical healing, an emotional healing, some kind of pastoral healing in their life, so that once again they can stand on their feet and have faith to take their place. That's pastoral healing. Pastors are God's agents for bringing that. Do you know, Jesus once had a kind of debate with the Pharisees and the scribes. And in his teaching, he said, if there's an ox in the ditch on the Sabbath, you got to get him out. Well, there's many pastors. That's what they do. They get oxes out of the ditches every Sunday. Right? You could come to church on Sunday if you've really been going through and say, Pastor, I'm an ox in a ditch. Well, the Lord said I could get the ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath. So come on, come and sit here. I'm going to preach to you and get you out of the ditch. That's some pastoral healing. But there's another kind of healing. And that's the kind I'm talking to you about today. It's apostolic healing. It's not about restoring your soul so you can survive. It's about renewing your strength so you can complete the mission. Pastors, evangelists, apostles, intercessors, prophets, exhorters, teachers, I'm calling to you to come forth for the renewing of your strength so you can complete the mission. Because the Bible says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, not just get to a place of survival. In fact, the next part of the verse explains what he's talking about. It says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. This has to do with the call of God on your life. There's three stages of this apostolic healing. There's flying, there's running, and there's walking. It's right there. It doesn't say, if you wait upon the Lord, maybe you will get the wings of a sparrow and flitter around the house. If you wait on the Lord, you will be able to run once around the baseball diamond, at least to third base. If you wait on the Lord, you will be able to walk at least to the neighbor's house. No. This is about renewing your destiny and your calling. It says if you wait on the Lord, it says those who wait on the Lord will do something. They shall do something. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not collapse. Now these are stages in your life. You don't do all of them all the time. But you do them from time to time. Personally, I like flying the best. I'm talking spiritually now. See, mounting up with wings like eagles is when you move in the power of the Holy Spirit and you see miracles happen, and it's really effortless. And just last Sunday, we were preaching at United Methodist Churches up in Virginia, in the town of Doe Hill, where there are 52 mailboxes. I know because both the mail carrier and the postmaster were at the meetings, and they told me. So we were in the huge town of Doe Hill, and I was preaching to the United Methodist people, who are mostly farmers up there, country folk. And on the Saturday night, the Baptist pastor came from Monterey. And his name is Mark. And Pastor David told me about Pastor Mark. He said, you know, he used to listen to some of the messages of your grandfather, Derek Prince. And he mentioned that Derek used to pray for people and lengthen their legs. And he said, Mark told me that one of his legs is shorter than the other and it's troubling him. And then David said, I wonder if you would pray for him about that. Well, during the meeting, there was Pastor Mark from the Baptist Church. Very sweet man, I'd say maybe close to 40 years of age. And his wife and little girl were there. Well, at the end of the meeting, we called people up. And he came up and asked for prayer for his church. And I prayed with him. And then I said, Mark, I hear that one of your legs is shorter than the other and it's troubling you. He said, how'd you know? I told him about David telling me, the other pastor. And I said, would you like me to pray that God will lengthen your leg? He said, yeah. Yeah, I really would. I don't think he ever seen anything like that before. So I had him sit on the front bench and I just held his feet in my hands. I didn't dare move them. I just held them very still. And then I just spoke the word over them. And the one leg just went, and I said, there it is. And this Baptist pastor, he started yelling in the United Methodist Church. He said, oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, hallelujah. He lifted up his hands. He kept going for 5 minutes. After we went to pray for some other people, I know about this because the next Sunday morning was the next day and he had to preach his own church, but Sunday night he came back to the meeting and he said, I want to give a testimony, and boldly got up and told me what happened. He said, after you prayed for me, I ran into the bathroom and took off my trousers. He said, I wanted to look in the mirror to see that my hips were the same level, and they were. He says, a miracle has happened and God has lengthened my leg. Praise God. Now, this was just Sunday. I'm trying to give you the latest kind of things that happened so you don't think there's something that happened 20 years ago on one special moment. In fact, I have a letter here that came 2 days ago. And let me read some of it to you because you need to get ready for a miracle. It says, Dear Peter, greetings from Pompano Beach to you and Joy. When we last talked, David's family, David is this man's son, he's in his 80s. He said, David's family was visiting from Japan. Masako, which is his wife, the daughter-in-law, was battling with an undiagnosed infirmity. And I was losing blood from upper intestines. Joy was driving. You prayed, and God's favor came. It was released. The next morning, both Masaka and I were free of every symptom, wonderfully healed, and for me, regained energy. Praise God. So I like flying. Do you understand? If I have my choice, I want more airtime. I'm really serious. I know in this ministry, there are times when I have to walk, and there are times when I get to run. But what I like to do the most is to fly. And because flying, see, those who wait upon the Lord, who keep their face on His, and who have expectancy in their heart, the Bible says they will mount up with wings like the eagles. We saw one fly over our neighborhood, a bald eagle, just this week. And while it was flying over, it's so effortless. They just stretch their wings out, it seems, and they catch the thermals, and up they go. The Lord says, that's how you're going to minister for me. There's some that just seems effortless. You go to the high place, to the high call of God, to the extraordinary, very special, supernatural miracles that just put a smile on your face and make you want to live and do it again for the glory of God. So those who wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Because that means that you want to get a lot done. And you want to go really far. And you want to get it done in a short time. And you want to just see an exponential, supernatural release of God's blessings and power on a lot of people. Joy and I are running all the time. And we love it. But the Bible says that you can run and not be weary. And for a good time, that's the way it is. Then we come home and we crash. And we say, Lord, renewal, renewal, renewal. And those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength so they can run again. Do you want to run? Do you want to run through the valley and over the mountain and up onto the plateau for the purposes of God and see all kinds of wonderful, extraordinary things happening all the time? It's hard work. Running is hard work. And I try to run. Every week I run. And try to run every day, but I don't get to it. But it's hard for me to run. I can't run long and I can't run far in the natural. But I really can in the spirit. And I want you to run with me. I want you to fly with me. I want you to fly with heaven. I want you to run with heaven. You've got a lot of work to do. It's time to renew your strength. And then the scripture says, you shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. And that means you keep on course and you just keep going. And you endure the heat of the day. And you walk long. This is about endurance. The walk is about endurance. You walk the journey. And you keep on going for the Lord. And you don't faint. Because the Lord sustains you. Now all three things are important. Some of you are only waiting on the Lord for walking. Listen to me now. You want to walk with the Lord. We all want to walk with the Lord. How about running with the Lord? It's time that some of you started running with the Lord. Some of you have had some of the pastoral healing. I'm talking to you now about the apostolic healing. It's time to get back up on the horse. Not just walk with the Lord. It's time to run with the Lord. And then, oh, you're going to love it when you start flying. Flying with the Lord. Do you know, 4 nights ago, I had a dream. Surprise, because I have dreams every night, and I tell you about them. But 4 nights ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, somebody who I knew from when I was a young youth pastor, a teenager, gave me a helicopter in my dream. And now, I've been in a helicopter, and I've had a lesson on seeing how a helicopter operates. But I've never flown one. But after this man gave me the helicopter, I got in it. Joy got in it with me because she's always by my side. And we were in some big city. And I had to fly down between these tall buildings and then up in between the wires that went across the road. And so it was a little tense just to start. But once I got up above the wires, I flew that helicopter. And boy, was it a blast. I loved flying the helicopter. And then I pulled it down in a grassy area. And Joy and I went into a place where they were performing some big orchestra of music. And we went in. And when I came out of the orchestra, somebody had stolen my helicopter. And I went back to the place where we were staying. We had to walk. And when I woke up, I told Joy the dream. I said, I'm not exactly sure what this means. But it was from God, and it was very real. I don't dream. I don't think about helicopters. I never think about it. And God put it in a dream. This morning, when I was studying for this message, the Holy Spirit came on me and said, don't let anybody steal your helicopter. Listen to me now. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Somebody will give them a helicopter. This has to do with the high call of God on your life. Don't let anybody steal it. Don't let anybody steal your destiny, your calling, your mission. Let the healing, let the apostolic healing come to you today and fly your helicopter. It's really fun. It's what you're made for. God has a helicopter for you. As I went back to my dream, I realized the person who gave me the helicopter was an older gentleman in the first church where I was a minister. He was not a pastor. He was not even an elder in the church. But he was the most helpful person to me when I was a youth pastor, because he was an enabler. He came to me. He made things available to me. He helped support us. He gave all kinds of great advice. And I realized it was just average people in the body of Christ who God was going to use to give me a helicopter to enable me to fly. For all of you in this place who have been a part of that process, I want to say from my heart, thank you very much. Because I'm flying. And I'm not going to let anybody steal my helicopter. You know, you can hurt me. You could say something negative about me. You might not like something I do. I may have financial difficulties. I may even battle with sickness. But nobody's stealing my helicopter. This is the call of God on my life. Why am I telling you this? Because I want you to have this heart in you that is in me. It's a time when even the youth are failing. But those who wait upon the Lord, not in a moment of extreme trauma, but every day. You got to wait every day. The renewal process is every day. You keep your face on Him and you get fueled. You get refueled. What kind of fuel do you want now? Do you want fuel to walk with God? Do you want fuel to run with God? Or do you want fuel to fly your helicopter? What do you want? Well, I want fuel for all three of those things. But if I could have more of the helicopter fuel, that's what I'm voting for. I want to see extraordinary miracles. I want to see revival come to America. I want to see the church moving in passion and care and compassion. I want to see the people of God with the joy of the Lord, breaking spiritual prisons, ruining oppression, destroying poverty, healing the sick, seeing the people of God raise their children with merriment, joy, purpose, gladness, and the goodness of God to come into our community and our homes. Saints, the pressure cooker is here. But those who wait upon the Lord, you might say, well, you know what? I need the first healing. Hello? I need the pastoral healing one, you know, where you just kind of heal my body and help me with my emotions. Well, that's okay. They're both as important as the other. Jesus is a healer, and He's here for you for that too. But long before you get fully healed with the pastoral healing, the Holy Spirit's going to move on you for some apostolic healing to call you up to your mission. Now, the Holy Spirit's heavy here right now. He is. He's moving upon us.
And there's expectancy in our heart. It's a time for the marriage of the Word of God with faith, for us to say yes to what God has for us. Will you stand with me? And let's just pray together for a moment. Now, the Holy Spirit, I said at the beginning, was going to tell you something in this message. It might not be exactly what I said. The Holy Spirit knows how to take my words and make them better. And so he's personalized it for you. And it's time for you to respond to him now. Would you make a good confession with me? Say this, please. The Lord is my Lord. Jesus is my King. Almighty God is my source. The Holy Spirit is my teacher and my comforter. Today, I wait upon the Lord. I expect his blessings. I'm looking for fuel so that I might walk with him. I'm looking for fuel so that I might run with God. And I'm looking for fuel so that I might mount up with wings like the eagles and fly in the high calling of God for my life. Lord, I dedicate myself to you for your purpose. I ask for pastoral healing for my soul. And I ask for apostolic healing for my destiny. I give myself to you, and I welcome the wind of the Holy Spirit, the updrafts of Zion. I claim it now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If after hearing this message, you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.